Former Senator Jeff Sessions, of course, candidate in the runoff here in the primary for Senate, is joining me in studio now. And maybe you can help me, because I'm just a Gulf Coast guy and do have a sister who lives in New York. I've been around a lot of New York accents and all that. I don't speak fluent Brooklyn, but I have a little bit of familiarity. Brooklyn or Queens, it just sounds like he lied to me.
Well, I don't know whether he lied or not. But
he said
he didn't
threaten the two members of the Supreme Court.
Well, I did not hear that. That is obviously wrong. And but the most important thing is we have a raging debate in America over the courts. He and I, Chuck Schumer and I, have teed off on it years ago.
Yes.
We fought a number of battles over it. I thought basically I had backed him down. I considered it a win because he took the view, Sean, that a judge, when we confirm judges, we should know what their ideology is, really their politics, because every judge allows politics to direct their opinions. And I took the view that this is absolutely contrary to the founding principles.
Yeah.
Judges put on robes. They take an oath to serve under the Constitution and under the laws of the United States, and their politics is not supposed to impact their decision-making. So that's the debate. And we went at it for a number of times. He would say it, and I would rebut it, and basically quit saying it. But that's obviously still his view, that a politician can threaten judges on the court to get them to render something other than a lawful ruling. It is a threat to the American legal system. I'm glad he's taking heat. He doesn't take enough heat. He needs to be censured. No senator should do what he did in this instance.
You bring up a point that I hadn't even thought of, which happens quite a lot. What was his attempt? And say, but people just joining us again. I want to run the clip again. Here's what happened yesterday afternoon.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
All right. So then, when he comes into the Senate and says this.
I'm from Brooklyn. We speak in strong language. I shouldn't have used the words I did, but in no way was I making a threat.
Now, right. I'm a simpleton here. Help me. To me, it sure sounded like he specifically called out Gorsuch, specifically called out Kavanaugh, told them to reap the whirlwind, they would pay the price.
That is a threat without any doubt about it. I think he deserves to be censured for it. And if he were to continue to do these things, he should be expelled from the Senate. This is not an acceptable thing for a powerful politician in America to do. Call out by name two judges. Listen, this is the way I see it. When they talk about ideology, mm-hmm. President Obama used a horrible phrase, empathy.
Mm-hmm.
What is empathy if it's not bias? What
sure.
is empathy if it's not politics,
mm-hmm.
Ideology? What you expect in a judge is what Justice Roberts testified to, and he and I talked about it. Actually, I think I suggested the language to him, but I won't claim that. And that is, a judge is a neutral umpire. It does not take sides in the game. When you say ideology or empathy is a factor in your decision-making, then you're saying your personal values, politics, get to decide cases. That is so contrary to the law. Law, politics, and bias are the antithesis of law. I'm sure Tommy Tuberville understands all this.
Well, I want to get into,
I mean, this is a raging issue that progressives still believe that everything is about the revolution, advancing their agenda, and there are no principles and no law that really stands in their way to accomplish their goals.
Okay. Having dedication to the rule of law and ruling on law is not a bias. It's seen by the left as a bias, right? They're always trying to say, well, what would you do here? You'd enforce and challenging that someone would rule on the law as it's written and saying that that's a bias. But I agree with you it's not a bias. That's the job, is to say this is what the law says. So if your bias, is to the Constitution, if your bias is to the rule of law, then I guess there's a lot of us that are guilty.
Sean, well, you're right about that. We had a lady came from China, or actually Hong Kong, that expressed to us at the Department of Justice the fact that they had an independent judiciary. I didn't realize it. It took me a little time to realize this is important, because Beijing, mainland China, communist China, wants to influence that. Sure. So she was saying we still have it. That's why they had so much riots over this legal decision over there, because the people of Hong Kong, who've been raised in the British system, the American system of law, believe that judges aren't supposed to be communists. They're supposed to rule on the rules.
Right.
And so it's a fundamental thing. And if we lose that independence, then we've lost something precious. That's why judges can't have their salaries cut.
Mm-hmm.
They get a lifetime appointment. Sometimes we grieve about it, but you don't.
But it's for a reason. The founders knew better.
When you have your judicial system become one that's based on ideology and politics, disaster has occurred.
Yeah, there's a lot of savvy in what you're saying too, in interpreting Schumer, spending the time around him, knowing kind of what his triggers were and what the battles you had fought against Schumer, and it sounds like you had felt pretty good about he understood things and you'd kind of put him right, but sounds like he's forgotten that.
Well, he backed down. It wasn't a winning argument. The American people, when they heard those two arguments, they were on my side,
mm-hmm.
on the law's side. You can't have judges pushing their political agenda. I understand the liberal Lawrence Tribe criticized him.
He did,
today.
Yes.
I remember having an exchange with him on this very subject, and my staff thought I kind of got the best of him because he was leaning that way, and I made this fundamental point that you and I have just discussed. But he it's hard for any real practitioner of law in America to find any way to justify what Chuck Schumer did.
Well said. All right, coming right back, more with former Senator Jeff Sessions, of course, candidate here in the runoff for Senate for the Republicans. They have 26 days left, 27. Yeah, he'll count them down when we get back. And we'll take your calls and texts at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you all along, and good to have Jeff Sessions in studio. 26 days, I think, is my count right? 26 days here till the
29.
4 weeks to the runoff. It used to be like 6 weeks in runoffs, right?
I think so.
It's expedited here to March 31st. Let's talk about a couple things here. I want to continue this discussion because it's great to have you. I mean, the odds got you in studio, and this is going on, and your experience in the Senate and your experience in the judicial branch. I mean, it's kind of a perfect thing here. You said something to me during the break, and I want you to say it again to everybody, because you said, hey, Sean, I don't want to say it's not okay to criticize a judge, right?
Yes, I truly believe that the left, every time you criticize one of these left-wing decisions, said, oh, you're threatening the independence of the judiciary. You can't cut their salary. You can't remove them from office. How can you threaten the independence of the judiciary? But what you should never do is to say, I have a political opinion about abortions, and if you don't vote with me, I'm going to make you pay, and I'm going to, in effect, threaten you in ways that we don't even know what could be. That is very, very wrong. And one thing I think most of your listeners know, it's something that I've been a fighter for the entire time in the Senate on the Judiciary Committee, 20 years. I've been involved in these confirmation fights from the beginning. The thing is that this is a division. President Trump is appointing judges, and for the most part, former President Bush did and Reagan, that believe in serving under the Constitution and laws of the United States as objective, ruling objectively, not taking sides in the ball game, but following the law and the facts. Their view of the judiciary is that it must advance the goals of great agendas that some of them believe in. Mm-hmm. They believe that, words of the Constitution can be adapted to modern times. They believe in the living Constitution, which means you can make the words, twist them to make them say something today that the people who ratified them never intended. This is a direct threat of law in America, and President Trump is just doing a great job with the nominees. That's one of the reasons I endorsed him from the beginning. He has delivered, and every conservative in the country is really proud of what he's done. So, but that's one of the big battles. It's a philosophical difference. It's this postmodern relativism of the left versus the orthodox traditional rule of law of the middle America and the conservatives.
But it's the it's interesting to me is if the left calls that bias, then that bias is to the rule of law. So I wish they would just say that. Say, we don't want to confirm, get a Senate confirmation. We don't want to confirm this nominee for Supreme Court because their bias is to the Constitution, the rule of law, because that's where the bias is, right? It's non-interpretive. So if there's a bias, it's a bias to the Constitution.
Yes. Look, we've had the debates. The Democrats started for the first time after the Bush v. Gore election to filibuster systematically highly qualified judges. That never happened before that. Judges would be held up and delayed, but not of systematic filibusters. And they proudly announced they changed the ground rules of confirmation. They knew they were making a big change. So this left wants to advance their political agenda, whereas the conservatives and traditionalists in the legal world believe that judges should just make the right call on the law and the facts. Otherwise, you've got an unelected, lifetime appointed in a judiciary that sets policy. And that's what has outraged people like myself and other conservatives, that they've used this guise of following the law to advance their political agenda. They would never win at the ballot box.
Right. They could not get it done. I've parroted this for years, but what they could not get done, the legislative branch or the executive branch, either through executive fiat or through passing laws in Congress. Okay, well, what's next? Let's go to the third leg. Let's go to the judicial branch and try to get something changed there. That's not the purpose of the judicial branch.
So right. And I just would say to your listeners, I think most people in Alabama totally get that. But I've been a champion of that every day, probably as strongly or more strongly than any member of the Senate, and certainly and active in the Judiciary Committee on all these matters. I want to continue that fight. I know where the battle lines are. I know where the forces are. We've been having some great victories, and we need to keep them going.
Yeah, something I want to talk about just strategically for our state, and that is, and I don't know when Senator Shelby will want to not run again. I don't know that. But when you were Senator Shelby, we had the most senior senatorial delegation, right?
Yes.
Okay. When you took the AG
one of the
job,
most.
Yes, one of the most. When you took the AG job, I lamented many times on air because I said, we're going to lose, our punching ability. I worry down the road having people come in, and we talk about your opponent in this race as well, that are new. Real new to it, and then the fear that down the road, when Senator Shelby decides he doesn't want to run again, or somebody bests him, then we have possibly an extremely junior, if not the most junior, senatorial delegation. At the same time, we're looking at the chance of possibly losing a congressional district in the House and going to six. The only place I see us having a puncher's chance for those ideas and those feelings that you just expressed are in the Senate, where we can stand on equal footing.
It's an important office. The Senate of the United States is no little matter. It's right. Not somebody who waltzes in from Florida and just declares he wants to be an Alabama senator. Florida's already got two senators. because we have some things in common with Tommy Tuberville, although we're both from Camden. I'm from Camden, Alabama, and he's from Camden, Arkansas. That's where he grew up. But I'm just teasing. But it's a big deal. This is a big sentence. Right. We've got things right now that I nurtured from the very beginning, the LCS ship that Austell is, even before I knew we would be in Mobile, I was a part of the Sea Power Subcommittee. I can get back on that again. We've got to protect that program. We've got to protect Airbus from unfair competition and let them grow and prosper. I know those things. I was at the beginning on all of those and others here. I know this region of the state. Appreciate Bradley Byrne. Well, I hear the music, so
Can you hold on a second?
Yeah, okay,
Come right back. We're going to the news and come right back with Jeff Sessions.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone, and I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful. And it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Once again, as I've pointed out over the years, that's not an answer to a question. It's not an interrogatory, but that's how we start Midday Mobile. Hour number two on this Thursday, and guest in studio, Jeff Sessions. And I appreciate your time staying on a little bit longer with us, because we got a lot of things to talk about and go through here. And we talked a bunch about this during the news break, but I want you to talk to the people listening here. And one thing, when we were ending the last hour, you're talking about AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne, one of your fellow Republicans running in the primary. You've got a situation now. He's out of the race. He did very well in Mobile and Baldwin counties and elsewhere. But I mean, he took the lion's share of the votes here.
He did a really good job here, and he was strong, and he got a good percentage statewide. Mm-hmm. It was a weakness in North Alabama. I'd spent 20 years working with Huntsville and Birmingham and Florence and mm-hmm. Auburn and Opelika and Tuscaloosa. So he did very well, and particularly here. And what I would say to the voters here is, I respect him. He's the only person I mentioned in my remarks the other night, and he's been my congressman. So I would say to them, I would urge you to consider me for this Senate seat, that I was true to you in the past. You've supported me as your senator. I have not changed. I understand how to hit the ground running. My opponent, Tommy Tuberville, I do not believe has shown much interest in Mobile. I was there at the beginning of Austell and be able to help the littoral combat ship get established here. Even before that, I was on the Sea Power Subcommittee, and we believe that was a good naval program, and then we got it in Mobile. Likewise, I was at the ground battling for Airbus and the tanker and that fight. I just would say I know this area. Both my daughters graduated from Murphy. They were editors of the yearbook. My son went to St. Paul's. We're part of this community. This is my home. I want them to know that I can protect and defend this effectively. Armed Services Committee, I expect to be able to get back on that. And Jim Inhofe, the chairman of it, is one of my best friends. He's already come to Alabama to endorse me and support me. He wants me to chair a committee. So I would just say I can hit the ground running for Alabama, and we've got a person that has no history whatsoever. We don't even know what his philosophy is, except he has said some very wrong things about about immigration that that are shocking to me. He said some very, very wrong things about trade and President Trump standing up to China and using tariffs to protect American industry and protect American jobs and stop this hollowing out of the entire manufacturing base of America. He's got the wrong view about that. He said, I'm 100% free trader. Well, President Trump is a fair trader. He says he doesn't.
They're different things. Very. So,
Trump ran against that crowd.
Correct.
That's who he beat. I was with Trump. This is really not a little matter. And then also he opposes the use of tariffs, which is a radical
big
free
departure
trade
from,
agenda view. And he actually said he opposed Trump's opinion approach to China, which is. We're in the major negotiations with China. I'm so proud of the president. He's using tariffs to force them to come to the table. They have so much more to lose than we do. He knows it. He's playing that card exactly right. We need to be supporting him, not saying you don't agree with him. It's a big issue for America. We need to know who our senator from Alabama is. And we got to know he can be counted on. You know me. You know where I've stood. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not changing. I'm very more convicted now than ever, and I believe we have an opportunity with the reelection of President Trump that's historic, and we do not need to drop the ball.
You know, we talk so many times when you're in here about idealistic things, because I love to have those conversations with you, but you mentioned something pragmatically. So for a second, and the people on the phone lines were coming to you in a second, but the pragmatic thing, you touched on it for a second. It's something that when you're not in here, I get a lot of questions about. Okay, so let's delve into it. You talk about Senator Inhofe and your discussions there and getting back on committees. Because let's talk some pragmatic. I was talking about a little bit earlier where I'm worried about our standing in the Senate as the only place we get even footing. As we look at a California or a Texas or a New York and the number of House seats they have, we get crushed. And we're about to have 6 maybe versus 7 congressional seats. But in the Senate, we get to stand 2 senators just like every other state. But beyond that, we need to have, I'm just going to say it here back home, I want to have outsized influence in the Senate because we don't get it in the House. So pragmatically, you talk about going back up, getting on these committees. People always ask me, well, what about seniority? And the way I understand it, you correct me, that you don't come in with seniority over senators who are still there, but there is a seniority among what would be the new senators, or how does that work?
Yeah. You don't get to come back into the Senate and jump ahead of people who are now chairing committees and that kind of
thing. You can't say I'm back. You'll get
it. But I would be first in my class.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, I know personally, I think every single committee chairman now that I served with, I can go in their office and I understand it. And thirdly, I would say, I have the ability to understand the rules and hit the ground running. There'll be people trying to take things from us. We're going to have a battle with Austell. I talked to Craig Percy of Alley. Out there, he runs that place, and we've worked with him for years from the very, you know, and keep that ball going healthy and strong.
Right.
A United States senator has 2 real fundamental roles, in my opinion. One, you never forget in making sure you protect the legitimate interest of your state.
Mm-hmm. You're our ambassador to Washington.
Yes, but we do things like Fort Rucker, the Army Aviation Center in Southeast Alabama, a fundamental thing, the Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery with the Air War College and the JAG School and the Gunner Annex, which is a huge computer center. We got Anniston Army Depot. We've got the top National Guard per capita in the country virtually. It's a huge part of the state. And then we've got this massive technology of missiles and defense systems in Huntsville.
Yeah, Redstone
and
all.
And
yeah.
So I just would say to you have to protect your interest of your state. This is no little matter. And in addition to that, the people of Alabama want a champion, somebody who advances their values against radical judges, against radical socialism, against illegality at the border, against people who cheat us on trade and shut our factories down and lay off our workers. They want somebody who will fight for having wages rise like has happened in President Trump's time after 20 years of not. Wages are going up above inflation rate for a change. No wonder the American people have been unhappy to go 20 years with no real pay raise. And somebody
You've been talking about that for a long
time.
Yeah,
and I just, one more thing I would say. When you go into the Republican Conference, you got to push them. A lot of them been there.
Right.
They gotten settled into the establishment crowd and the big business crowd. Somebody needs to defend the average working American. And that's what I've been doing and become more effective at it in the last several years of my tenure.
So it is. I mean, it's both have this discussion. There's the idealistic part you talked about. The same part, there's a pragmatic part of it for our state. And how, I mean, I preach about this all the time, but I mean, we are not a Texas, we're not a California, we're not a New York. We do not have House seats coming out our ears, but we do get even standing in the Senate.
That is a good point, actually. I mean, it's very important matter.
I'm not going to tell Ben's asking how many times this, your competitor has Coach Tuberville come on the show. Let me say this. Somebody's asking the number of times you've been on with me versus Coach Tuberville. I want to tell you all something right here, even with former Senator Sessions sitting here. I give equal time. By law, I give equal time, and by morality, I give equal time. Coach Tuberville has been on the show one time and never come back on. So I'll put it that way. So he's gotten every invitation that you've had. So if somebody's thinking I give them every opportunity to come on. This is a good question. What are you, let me get the language right as these things bounce around, your proudest accomplishments in the Senate?
Well, I think my proudest accomplishments has been to push the Republicans to be more oriented toward average working people. You might ask me tomorrow, I might see another accomplishment, but in historic terms, I believe this Republican Party that I started at as a teenager, when we lost every election, we had two members of the entire state legislature when I was
Some bad times back then.
A Republican. But I believed in these principles. But standing up for or helping to move that party to more Trumpian. You know, he appealed to working people more effectively. You won't win an election if you can't appeal to the people who make the half of America that makes less than $60,000 a year.
Sure.
Many make a lot less than $60,000 a year. And so I think that we did have great victories against the amnesty bill three different times, against all odds sometimes. We never knew we were going to win, but we won every time. I won against the trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We won. I forced the Democrats to bring up a budget when they had the majority, and I was a ranking Republican on the budget committee. We forced them to follow the law, which says you have to produce a budget every year. And actually, they passed a bill that said no a budget, no pay. That's what forced that to happen.
This one, speaking of money from Washington, and this is Dan. This is Ben. Another Ben says, what is Mr. Sessions' plan to secure federal funding for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project?
Of course, the primary decision making on how monies are to be allocated are by the state. But let me tell you, the one thing I think that might be important for us to hope for and believe in, the president has favored a major infrastructure bill as much as $1 trillion. I was with him on the campaign trail.
I heard him
make those promises, and it's part of his agenda. He couldn't get it up in his first term. We don't need to pass that in the second term early, and I think that's the one source of new money to help Alabama be able to advance some major projects. I've been in the traffic on I-10. I've been there, and I know we got to work toward fixing that.
Pragmatically, you think you're talking about early in the term. So President Trump gets reelected early in the term. You think he can bring? I mean, because infrastructure has been a place where at least Democrats and Republicans can get somewhat closer. You think you could bring at that point? They're looking at 4 years, the second term. You think Democrats will play ball there in the House? You think, or and I know many think that the Republicans could get the House back. I don't know. That's in the future. You're going to need some Democrats to make this happen.
I believe that if they'll bring up the bill in the Senate, if not the House, that it's unstoppable. I don't believe the Democrats will vote against a good infrastructure bill. I don't think they can go home and not vote for it when President Trump gets behind it. And they're worried about giving him a big victory now. That's why they won't do it now, because it would help him with the reelection. It'd be just one more accomplishment that he promised to do that he got done. And so they've refused to do so irresponsibly. If this bill is brought up, I think he'd have a very high degree of success.
Okay. I get a lot of text on this. I'm looking at the phone lines too, so maybe we can let Jeff ask the question here on the phone line and answer a lot of these text questions. It's something I asked you the first time you came back on the show with me about the recusal and the explanation. But Jeff in Orange Beach has a question. Jeff, you're on with former Senator Sessions, and y'all go. You're on.
Senator Sessions, thank y'all for taking my questions. I'm calling. I got a call yesterday from somebody from the Tuberville campaign, and I said, guys, I can't help you because I'm standing behind Senator Sessions. And they asked me why. They said, why are you standing with him when he recused himself day one and he could have changed Paul Ryan, how the Congress reacted? And I get this question a lot from a lot of people that kind of pay attention to what I'm doing. And I'd love to hear it from you to tell the people why that we should trust your leadership again, because we felt let down in that situation.
This was a matter I had to decide as Attorney General. It was some weeks after I became Attorney General. The law of the Department of Justice says that if you participate in a political campaign, you cannot investigate and supervise the investigation of that campaign. I was a national security chairman of the Trump campaign. I nominated President Trump at the convention at his request. I was on travel with him all over the country. I gave him a whole year of my life, basically, to helping him get elected, very few days off, 7 days a week. So I was prohibited from doing that. A recusal basically says you just can't run the investigation. We did not know that there was this kind of investigation ongoing when I was confirmed, and so I had to recuse myself. I believe I followed the law. I'm a person who follows the law, and I was insisting that the Department of Justice tighten up. There were too many leaks, there was too much politics, and it was impossible for me to insist that others comply with the rules if I didn't. But I understand the president's frustration. It went on longer than anybody expected, but I always was confident that the investigation would come out as it did. He would be cleared. I certainly knew of nothing improper occurred with Russia. Now in this impeachment effort, they didn't even mention collusion. Didn't even mention Russia because he was cleared of it, and that's in the long run was a good thing for America, I think.
Well, Senator Sessions, I thank you. I respect you. You've been incredible for Alabama. I hope when you win, they get you the seniority back, and I wish you luck, sir.
Well, thank you so much. I'll try to be worthy of your confidence, and I have always tried to be sure that the people, particularly my hometown people, know that I did my level best to do the right thing every day and not sell out to Wall Street, big money, liberal interest groups, let the left-wing media direct you. I've taken my hits from them. I've always tried to stay firm for what I thought was true and correct.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call. I want to go to Ron in Mobile. You're on next. Ron, you're on with former Senator Sessions.
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I just want to make a statement that do you ever think that we're going to see a return to civility and mutual respect among the left?
Well, it is, Ron, a very divisive situation right now. One old head that I thought was pretty insightful said there used to be bitter personal hatreds in the Senate, but now it's fundamentally their disagreements are philosophical. So you've got this progressive group that thinks judges can impose politics. They want to have socialism and more government, more taxes, more regulation, and we want classical American rules of freedom and free enterprise and that produce prosperity as well as freedom. So there's some big differences out there. This postmodern crowd that's secular, that's all about power, less and less about principle and what's right in the long run. So I just... it's out there. I've always been able to get along with people, but I've never backed down. People knew I was rock solid in my beliefs, and I remain so.
Well, I have observed you do that over many years, so I appreciate that. Second thing I want to ask you about is negative mudslinging ads. I don't mind when people get into people's records or they talk about what they said, but when it looks like it's just becoming a downright dirty personal attack, I can't deal with that. And I've even withdrawn my support from a couple of people who were longtime friends who were running for other offices. And I see that they're using that same tactic against you, and it just turns me off. Do we have to have that type of campaigning now?
Well, one old friend one time said, my buddies don't like negative advertisements, but I do. I want to know what they've done. sometimes you just tell people about what somebody did and where they come from. But you're right. I hate them. People have been beating up on me for a year, you know, of every kind of charge. We have to push back some, but I agree with you, Ron, and I hate it.
And Ron, I appreciate the call, but let me point out too that it was Jefferson and Adams, they're pretty rough back then. So it's not new to our republic, is it?
No, it's not. They had some bitter debates.
They said some mean stuff about each other back then. Brian's in Citronelle. You're on with Jeff Sessions.
Hey, Senator Sessions, how you doing today, man?
Thanks, Brian.
Hey, listen. You know, man, I voted for you every time that I've ever voted. I voted for you. And I'm going to continue to. I have confidence in you. And needless to say, this is some crazy times we're living in. And we're facing things that we've never faced before. And the obstacles that the Democrats and the socialists are putting in front of us are just crazy, for lack of a better word. It really is. I mean, things that we've never seen before. And we do believe in you, and we have confidence in you, and we know you're going to do a good job.
Thank you for that.
You can't really be upset with us for being frustrated right now.
Well, I think that I do. I think that's a good point, Brian. People are frustrated. I know some people were concerned about my recusal. I honestly believe I did the only thing I could do.
You know why, though?
I know, I do.
I mean, we know that you followed the rule of law. We know you did. And we respect you for that, because you've always done it.
Well,
you've always took care of us. But we also thought, hey, man, we got one of our guys up there that's going to look after the president. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we felt that the guy on our side, he was there. And so I can understand the president's frustration. I just want you to understand our frustration, but we haven't given up on you.
Thank you.
You know that, right?
Well, that means a lot to me. And I would just say, in the Senate, this is what I felt I had to do as Attorney General, but I also would ask people, this is about the future. It's not about the past.
It is.
But I think you can look at my record in the Senate.
Of course.
And predict where we're going in the future, and I have not changed. I was a leading advocate of the Trump issues before he even announced, and that's why I endorsed him, because I thought it was what I believed and what the people of Alabama believed, and I proved to be correct.
If you had told me 15 years ago that I'd have been voting for Donald Trump to be president, I'd have told you he's crazy as hell. I'd have never thought in a million years. I'd have never thought a lot of things where we are right now in this country. I'd have never thought we'd be here, but we are. We need you, man.
Did you think I was crazy when I endorsed him? Or did you know at that time?
I did not.
Good for you.
I didn't, because he was out there saying the things that we were all thinking.
That's right. I think you're right. Brian. He appealed over the heads of the
You've always been a fighter for Alabama, and we know that. And the game's not over. It's not over.
Right, I appreciate
you're going into overtime.
You're exactly right. We're going to work just to the last day. And if Lord allows me, I hope that the people of Alabama will be continue to be proud of my service in the Senate, because I love them. I love this state.
You're an honorable man, and we know it.
And
we're just all frustrated just as much as you are.
Brian, I appreciate your call. Thank you. We're up against the end of the segment here, and I know you've got to move on, but I want you to get a minute here to tell folks that they, you know, how they support you, how they get more information, and I'm sure you want to ask them to show up sometime this month. When is it?
29th. Look, I've done my best to be a leader for the things we believe in. I have stood up for Alabama values for years, and actually I think even more effectively and vigorously in the last several years of my time in the Senate, because I've seen even the Republicans have become too status quo, too establishment oriented, not enough sensitivity to the people. So I would just say to you, I've stood with you, I've stood for you, I've spoken for you. I'm asking you now to stand with me one more time. We're going to keep working.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for being here. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. There he is, Senator Jeff Sessions. We'll take your calls, and also my buddy Wayne Dean from UCP coming by as well. You know, we got like festivals for all kind of foods around here. What about for macaroni and cheese? Wait till you hear this.